This is a public service announcement. Welcome to episode 4 of the Training Floor podcast. I'm back. It's me, Tara Barbills, and I'm back with, as promised, a new episode, a new week, and a very special guest. We've got a new co-host on our hands, and she's staring at me in anticipation right now because I'm doing the weird presenter voice and this is not my real voice, but hey ho. We are joined by none other than, drum roll please. Gemma Fahey!
And the crowd goes wild!
Hey guys.
Hello.
Thank you for having me.
You're more than
I feel
welcome.
Quite honoured right now.
That was like a proper WWE like intro as well. I really...
Oh, 100%. The production value's gone up. Since I've come on the show, you may see some pictures on the gram and on the Facebook page later
the
on.
The socials.
But with the production value's going up week by week, gradually we're getting there.
We're actually doing what we're supposed to be doing eventually. It's only taken over a month, but you know.
Well, you know.
Worth the wait.
You live and you learn and you get the funds together and you get the time. It just all works out in the end, doesn't it?
And then you still put out a shit show and call it the Train of Thought podcast. But
I mean, come on now. We can't be perfect.
No.
No one wants a perfect podcast.
Exactly. And that is exactly why you've all tuned in. So thank you for coming back again.
Yes, thank you for listening to my debut.
How you been getting on? How's your week been?
It's been pretty quiet, to be fair. Just, you know, stressing about what to talk about on here because I'm a little bit OCD with my preparation and I like to Google things a lot. So I've got some little things I want to talk about that we'll get into
juicy topics.
Bit later on. Yeah, I'd like to think they are. I mean, you guys might not be your spice of life, but I've written them down and that's what I've prepared. So that's what we're going to talk about today.
This is such a sort of passive aggressive style that we've got going on this podcast. It's very much, you're fucking here, you're fucking listening.
You might as well. That's the highlights of what I got because I don't know how much you had prepared and obviously I don't know how off the rail we'd go with our topics and how derailed we'd get with our
discussions. First day on the job, she's doing well.
Listen, if you saw me and James's chat on Instagram, the amount of train puns that were just steaming ahead. I told you, I said to him, I was like, I'd be very disappointed if there's barely any train puns. You can't have a Train of Thought podcast and there's not a million, like, you know, you have to have some every week, like five every time every episode comes out for this week. And obviously you have to have the wit to just slide it in there. Yep.
Got to keep it chugging along, you know?
Oi. We're converting her, guys.
Oi. Converting me to my own podcast.
No, to join the pun train.
Oh my God, should I hop on board?
It's all aboard. It's about to depart the station. Gonna get real bumpy. Oh my God.
Sorry, we're a bit late on this Happy Halloween podcast episode.
Well, you know, it's better to be late for Halloween than early for Christmas.
And is there anything more terrifying than straight men on Tinder?
Straight white men on Tinder, I think, are probably the most terrifying I've ever encountered, to be fair.
Encounter of the seventh kind.
Encounter of the white kind. Straight white guys are just in their own atmosphere. They are something else. Other guys, they're smoother. They've got lines, you know, they've got the chat, they've got the banter. White guys. I'm white myself, by the way, guys. You can check out my Instagram and verify that.
Do you want to plug yourself now?
I don't even know what my at is. Let me find that first of all.
The guy I used to work with, the guy I work with now, sorry. He spoke about what he dressed up for Halloween last year.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I'm already in my costume. I'm a white male. I'm a cis white male. Is there anything more terrifying?
This is true.
And he was just like, ah!
Well, my app is Gemma_Fahey. So it's Gemma with a G, the best kind, like gemstone.
Not like Jemima.
No.
Your Majesty.
When you didn't say, when you said you didn't know how to spell Jemima, I was just like, what?
I don't know anyone called Jemima. I don't, is it J-A or J-E? That's what I meant, as in I don't know how to, that's J- what I meant.
Sorry, it's J-E-M-I-M-A, Jemima.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was J-E or J-A, and I was like, I don't really care.
You did get James Well with that game, though, and he was just like, I didn't know.
Clap back.
Yeah. Oh, and Faye or Fahi, whichever one's easiest for you guys.
No, no, we're putting a line through it right now. We are standing up for people. I'm part of this gang.
It's true.
Surnames that are mispronounced.
James, if you ever hear this, I know how to pronounce Tara's surname. Took me a while. It took me about a year before she actually said it to me because I just I presumed it was Powalis for a long time until I actually heard her say it out loud one day and I was just like, oh.
Oh, snap.
Why is it a W? Why is it a W? Okay, we're going with a V. It's Parvils. All right, we'll leave it at that then. For ages, I thought Powalis. And it's not even spelt to pronounce it as Powalis either. I do that with words sometimes. My mum jokes about it with me. There's a word, what was it? Oh, I say rant instead of rant.
Yeah.
And I say, was it? I say gwarf instead of guffaw.
You say what?
Gwarf instead of guffaw. So like guffaw is a word, is to describe laughing. So like if you're guffawing, you're like,
oh, yeah.
But for some reason, my brain read it as gwarf, even though it's G-U-F-F-A-W, guffaw. Yeah. My brain just read it as gwarf, and I'm like, oh yeah, he was gwarfing. Mom's like, what?
Go off.
I was like, oh yeah, he's gwarfing. She's like, the fuck are you talking about? I was like, he was gwarfing and he was ranting. She's like, ranting? She pulls me up in it all the time still. I'm like, Mom, please, I've learned now. I know how to pronounce them.
I can speak, I promise.
Literally, but the first time I said it, she ripped the piss out of me. I was just like, okay.
Call it around the family. Dave, I've been listening to this.
Big old Skype call with everyone involved. It's like all my closest family, nearest and dearest. So guys, you'll never guess what Jem just said. She was ranting. Absolutely guffawing and gwarfing. Honestly, I can't deal with it.
It's like time lag calling someone in Brazil, like 7 seconds later. Gwarf.
Now I just use trusty Uncle Google. Or as my dad likes to pronounce it, which I semi ripped the piss out of him for. He says Google, and I'm like, what? He's like, you gotta Google it. I'm like, Google. What? He's like, Google it. I'm like, it's Google, Dad. He's like, no, just Google it, innit? Just Google it. I'm like, oh my god. Now I know how I feel because I'm just like ranting away. And he's like, hey, Google it. And I'm like, huh? Mind you, I was gonna get a bit deep. I was like, the guy's nearly 50, and he calls it Google.
Okay, boomer.
Oh my god, my dad didn't even know what that means. He was asking me about the KSI and Logan fight. He was like, I didn't know KSI was British. I'm like, yeah, that's why it's a big thing. It's like America versus England, and like they had this big beef. And he was like, what's this to hear about this controversial knockout then? I was just like, oh my god. So I'm explaining it to him, and he's like playing Luigi's Mansion 3 while I'm talking to him, and he's like, okay, all right, that's all I need to know. I'm like, dismissive much? Okay,
proper sounds like a millennial though.
Oh my
multitasking
god.
You know when you can't even like just focus on one stream of content at the same time, like I've got to put a program on Netflix and then be on my phone at the same time.
Oh like, yeah, because when you get the boring or the cringe bits and your soul just can't handle that much cringe,
just get like muscles but spasms, you have to, yeah, you have towards your phone.
You've already checked Instagram, Snapchat and Facebook like 3 times in the last 4 minutes. Nothing new's happened.
It is the modern equivalent of opening the fridge and then going nothing to eat, and then closing it and then coming back 10 minutes later and just opening the fridge again. Nothing to eat. Closing it again.
See, I used to do that before I learned how to cook. Now that I'm an actual proper adult and I can cook, and I'm like, oh, those are ingredients.
You go into before like that, chopped mode.
Yeah, I'm like, oh yeah, we could put a bit of mushroom in there, a bit of red onion. Before that, I'm like, oh, I can't make a sandwich of this. What is this? What am I meant to do with this?
Right. Now that we're on that subject, I think we need to pull you up, miss.
Pull me up about what?
Pull you up in your weird food combos.
Listen. Your girl found this picture of someone who likes peanut
There's
butter.
More of you freaks.
And onion sandwiches. I'm currently showing Tara the picture of this. Someone consumes peanut butter and white fried onion sandwiches. I don't think you can drag me as much about my peanut butter and
you
ham
say that,
sandwiches.
But we got time, babe.
Listen.
Would you like to explain to the people So, the monstrosity that you've come up with.
I'm a bit weird with my eating habits. So basically, I was in the kitchen one day and I was going to make just a basic peanut butter sandwich.
Which is where the story should end.
But there was ham in the fridge and I thought, you
know
what?
I'm going to be an absolute nut freak today.
I feel like
I'm going to slap these two things together.
I feel like the flavour palettes of both of these ingredients will complement each other.
Right.
So I slapped them into a sandwich together.
Wait, can I backtrack?
Yeah.
The flavour palettes. Can you talk me through?
Well, peanut butter is quite a savoury flavour. Mm. And
if you will.
I like meat, so I thought, why not combine the two? And apparently my uncle discovered this combination way before I was even born. So it's just maybe genetic. I don't know. I'm just predisposed to like peanut butter and ham sandwiches. It's like the destiny of my family's line to just discover peanut butter and ham sandwiches.
Generation after generation.
Yeah, literally. And you know what? My sister started eating peanut butter and ham sandwiches because she copied me. So I swear to God, it's in my genetics of my family.
What's that called, heretic?
Both sides. My uncle, my mum's side, and then my sister on my dad's side. Both eat peanut butter and ham sandwiches.
I almost want to give you this. I almost want to like let it
slide. I'll make it for you one day, or you can have a bite of my sandwich. And it's actually, I like it. I like it best now because it's colder, toasted. So I'll toast the bread first, then put peanut butter on it.
You're making it sound worse.
And then I'll put ham in. Listen, that's my breakfast most mornings these days when it's cold and I've got to run out the door.
That is some serious, like, do you know what? That's a really good protein heavy breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
You were going for like a run.
I mean, I don't run, but yeah.
It's been years.
The last time I ran, I was probably at school. I do run for the bus sometimes.
Have you seen that Joanne the Scammer Vine video of someone calling her ugly?
No.
She's like, I got a question from a fan here. Joanne, what does it feel like to be ugly? Ugly. Ugly. Never felt that. Never experienced that emotion. Ugly. I'm just not familiar with this term.
I'm just gonna Google that real quick. just gonna Google that real quick.
Question for me, Joanne. I want to know, what does it feel like to be so goddamn ugly? I'll answer that for you. Well, ugly. Never felt that, never been through that, ugly. Never experienced that emotion, truly, never, don't know what that is, only know millions have it.
Running, never felt that, never experienced that emotion.
I mean, I think I've seen it before, but I mean, in movies maybe.
Yeah. Running my mouth, I'm very familiar with that, yeah.
I think I've seen it in a movie once.
That Forrest Gump thing?
Yeah, they told him to run. Why? What?
I was like, bro, what the fuck are you doing?
Why don't you just catch an Uber? Why are you running?
Just like waving the phone in the air behind him. Yo, dude!
Just in his box of chocolates, there's just an iPhone in there.
Can you imagine the 2019 reboot of Forrest Gump?
Oh my God, I would live for it. Please. Please, please, please. Well, one of Tom Hanks' sons, just do a reboot and do that. Please make it happen.
It'll be like that long intro, like the title music, you know, and they cut and they show all the nice houses in America.
Yeah.
And then they cut to him. He's like getting bullied in school, sitting on that park bench, yada, yada, yada. Well, here's the story, right? And he's in his living room, goes on the app, calls his Uber. And then immediately, the end. And then the end credits just roll.
Just gets delivery for the chocolates. Did you see on Twitter that there was a copy of a tweet that Tom Hanks commented on this Wilson sex toy? It's like a flashlight of like the Wilson ball. And he said, take my money now. Oh my God. If that's real... 10 out of 10 for Tom Hanks, because that is amazing. I don't know if it's edited, it's still good, but if that's actually real.
It probably would be.
I hope it is.
I wouldn't put it past celebs.
You know who I love that trolls? Ryan Reynolds. I just love it. I love everything. I love how him and Blake Lively, when it's like their birthdays and stuff, did you see the one where she had a picture of her, him and Ryan Gosling, and she just zoomed in on her and Ryan Gosling and cut half of his face out. It was like, happy birthday, baby.
Oh my God. Is it those two who do the t-shirt thing every year? I'm really bad with celebrities. Like, I'm pretending like I know who Blake Lively is and I'm just like,
oh my God. Yeah. She was in Gossip Girl. She was the blonde one in Gossip Girl. Trash. See what I have to pop with, guys. Professional amateurs over here.
Emphasis on one of those words. I'm not going to tell you which one, but I can't remember which celebs it is. There's two actors. Couldn't tell you here because obviously I have no clue.
Is it Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard that you might be talking about?
Mm-mm, it's not them. Okay. I think it's two guys.
Okay.
I also know Macaulay Culkin and somebody else did it as well. But one of them got a t-shirt with the other one's face, like, you know that Snapchat filter where it blows your whole face up?
Oh yeah.
Kind of like that. They just zoomed this guy's face and it covers the entire shirt, right?
Oh my God, I love that.
And he wore it and then got the paparazzi, like, got a picture. Mm. And then he posted that paparazzi shot saying happy birthday, whoever. And then that guy on the other one's birthday did the exact same thing, but he kept, instead of blowing up his whole face, he blew up the paparazzi shot.
Becomes
Inception,
yeah.
Of his face.
Just meta.
Yeah, it's like his face on Macaulay Culkin on a t-shirt and then on him on a press shot. Then Macaulay gets that picture on a t-shirt, on a t-shirt, on a t-shirt, on a t-shirt.
This will go on for forever.
And they did it for like 6 years, not 6 years, six times back and forth.
Oh my God.
And it just becomes like this smaller and smaller, smaller thing.
Oh my God.
And it's brilliant.
But I aspire to do that one day.
Should we do it?
Listen, I'm down.
Babe, my birthday is less than a month away.
I was going to ask you about what you're doing for that, but we'll talk about that later.
Don't want to share with the fans.
don't want to find us.
Don't let the creeps
find
us.
As James said, we want them to find us.
That's what happens when you give the location away.
They're all going to turn up to your birthday.
Customer service.
The first thing I want to talk about, and those of you that know me and Tara well will know that we are huge Drag Race fans.
Yes.
Huge, absolutely huge.
Huge.
So I wanted to ask, as you're up to date, which is good, mm-hmm. because if you weren't, I'd be very disappointed.
She just smacked me from across the room.
Yeah, I'll just fling the mic out of the way and just launch at her. So what are you thinking so far? What's your feelings? Who's your favorite?
My feelings. So I think most people are familiar, I think, with the concept of what Drag Race is.
Mm-hmm.
If not, if you haven't seen it, if you don't know what it is, RuPaul Charles is probably, well, I think the most famous drag queen in the world.
He's iconic.
Iconic. Truly. So he's got a competition. A televised competition,
mm-hmm.
Where they find the nation's best drag queens and they go head to head to basically become the nation, well, I would say America's, but this is the first series of UK Drag Race, mm-hmm. so UK's best drag queen, and it comprises? What's the word I'm looking for?
Comprises.
I got you in for a reason, my love. Comprises of singing, dancing, entertainment, wit, humor, acting,
looks on the runway.
Get it to the runway.
A lot of sewing. Runway. The amount of queens that go on there that don't know how to sew.
Yeah.
And everyone knows there's always a sewing mm-hmm. component. But anyway, I digress.
I derail. Okay, we're going to pause. We're going to pause right there and introduce. We can finally introduce the drinking game. So.
I want
get some dance hall, like the shots.
Yeah.
Pull up selector. So the obvious drinking game rule number one is any mention of trains and or public transport. We're going wide, but any mention of trains.
Going what? We're casting that net wide.
Private jet, drink. So any mention of transport, specifically trains. In particular,
mm-hmm. Makes sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
We're gonna do a follow up one, tailored to this episode.
Mm-hmm.
I think any mention. I don't want to give away the topics yet.
You haven't told me the topics. To be fair,
that's really just one. Okay, we're gonna mention anything to do with social media apps.
Oh God, that's one of my things to talk about as well. Actually, yeah. I forgot to say about that.
Take a sip.
Your girl.
She's running out.
I'm running low. Fine, I'll just take smaller sips.
What are you drinking today?
So, made a bit of a boo-boo. I was originally hunting for the Echo Falls little cans because I thought it'd be a bit too uncouth if I bought a whole bottle of wine in here.
Uncouth.
Yeah.
Train of Thought podcast.
Well, I mean, I'm on the street wise at the time that we are recording this.
There are no rules.
The rules are there are no rules. Shout out to Jamal for that one.
Jam's going to love that.
So, yeah, I thought it'd be a bit strange if I bought a bottle of wine in here.
Fair enough.
Because then I'd have to buy cups and then I'd have to buy a mixer and, you know.
Yeah,
it's a lot. This isn't that kind of session.
No, I've got a very, very professional bar set up for Gemma.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be hitting the ground real soon.
It's a very fine dining experience that you've got in the corner there. Would you like to tell the people the care provisions that the Train of Thought podcast has provided, me specifically, that I've provided for you today?
So your girl needed a table, so don't keep whacking the mic, leaning down for my drinks.
Mm-hmm.
So we've fashioned here a good old bin with a couple of leftover boxes just slid on top for a nice flat surface, you know, even for me to place my drinks on and my phone.
It's a bespoke bar.
It's avant-garde.
It's an avant-garde art deco piece.
South London improvisation.
It was. I actually purchased it from the Banksy shop just around the corner in Croydon. So, didn't want to give that away.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's not blown up yet then, because, you know, he likes to do a little old...
You say that.
Sprinkle a little spice on those artworks.
Wait till you see what happens later.
But yeah, so far, nothing's fallen in the bin yet.
Well, there we go. It's doing its job. Yeah, no complaints.
So far, so good. But yeah, so back to the drinks. So, well, I couldn't get the cans of the wine that I wanted, because your girl likes a sweet fruitiness, because sweet like... So I saw... Gordon's Pink Gin, because, you know, it's the craze, and why not? I'm a basic white girl, so of course I have to follow the trend.
your heart was destined.
I mean, I was drawn to it.
Sort of tingling down my spine. I was like, I have to have it.
Yeah. So I grabbed the first few cans of pink gin that I've got. Mind you, I like sweet stuff, as I've just said.
Mm-hmm.
And I got pink gin and tonic. So you get that sweet strawberry taste. It's the first initial flavour. Bellissimo. And then the tonic kicks in and murders all of my taste buds. I'm about two cans in now.
Right.
So I've gotten over that now. You know, it's the Irish in me, I suppose. You just carry on, you soldier on.
Just knock it back.
You knock it back and hope for the best, to be fair. So.
And if that is not the life mantra that you need and deserve... You deserve that.
You know what? You guys, this book's not going to come anytime soon, but I'm accumulating all quotes that I've said.
Oh, yeah.
I have a little notes page on my phone that Tara gave me the inspiration to start because I just
it
say...
It was needed. The world needs this. I need this.
I just come out with some one-liners, apparently, that just needed to be noted down.
They are iconic moments of human history that need to be documented.
And I reckon when I'm about 50... I'll have accumulated at least a book's worth.
Mate, you're going to have that by spring next year. What are you feeling?
Maybe. Hint, hint, pre-release, guys. Look out for
if
it.
If anyone from Puffin is listening.
So I'm accumulating them, and that's going to go on the list.
And you were all here to witness that and hear it. Nobody else gets to hear it.
See, exactly. It's a debut. It's a first, see?
Exclusive.
There you go. It's a little taster.
I'll add some more of those dancehall, like, gunshot thingies going off in here.
100%. It's got to be lit. Okay, so back to RuPaul.
Okay.
They've explained the premise. So now we're talking about the UK one that's just come out recently. So they're up to about episode 6, I believe. So they're
we're 6 weeks
halfway
in.
Through.
Mm-hmm.
So thoughts, who's your fave? Who do you think's going to win? All that jazz.
Right, my predictions are final three will be Davina DeCampo, The Vivian, and Bag of Chips.
I agree with that.
Actually, you said we're halfway through, but we're not. I swear, it's near the end now, aren't we? There's only four or five left.
Yeah,
about 3 weeks away from the finale. But that's my top three.
Yeah.
What's yours?
I agree. I'm the same. I think they're the same. My absolute fave is Bag of Chips. I don't think she can't not be a fave.
Controversial.
Oh no, Tara. Ooh, everyone loves Bag of Chips.
I love Bag of Chips.
Did you see Bag of Chips' face when she was peeking through the clothes?
Oh my god, that was at the Kim Davina Kardashian DeCampo in the jungle.
Meltdown. Oh my god.
That Kim K
I
in the jungle
it.
Meme 100% mirrored that energy.
I love it.
My absolute favourite though, of the four remaining?
Yeah, it is now, yeah.
Definitely my money's on Davina.
I thought you'd say that. I didn't want to spoil it and just shout out like, Davina, yeah. Is it Davina? I know it's Davina.
See, guys, I knew it. I knew it all along.
There's been a bit of controversy about it, though, because apparently a lot of UK drag queens have not been applying because of what the prize is. Because in the American version, you get like a big cash prize, you get like a year's supply of makeup and all these kind of like big things.
It's like it's $100,000 and a year's supply of...
And mind you, weekly, when you win certain challenges, you also do get like a year's supply of wigs and year's supply of like tailored clothes. And
clearly the budget at the BBC was not up to par with HBO, whatever it is that's financing the US version. Because honestly, the week by week prize is a Rupita badge.
Oh my gosh. To go from a year's supply of makeup, wigs... Like
they get custom-made dresses.
Exactly.
And like, they basically win prizes that are equivalent of like $5,000 or $10,000.
And that's weekly.
If you're winning
challenges weekly, you're balling.
Yeah.
You're set.
Get a little badge.
Yeah.
Union Jack on it. It says RuPaul.
And at the end, you get like a contract to record a TV show.
Yeah, there's no cash prize. It is just it's a TV special.
Yeah.
And I thought, it's a pretty shit prize given that there's so many like... streaming sites that you can just put your own shit out these days is a pretty useless
prize. Well,
most of the
queens do have social media, do have your YouTube videos, and most of them have shows. Like you've got Alyssa Edwards, who's got her own big dancing company.
She's
dancing
got a fucking
show
on Netflix.
Yeah, exactly. So,
Kimchi got famous through her. No, not Kimchi. Sorry, Soju.
Mm-hmm.
Got famous through her thing called Shots with Soju.
Yeah.
Say that three times. My
Bianca
God.
Del Rio has got films on Netflix.
Yep. I saw that film advertised on my homepage on Netflix for like 2 years before I realised Bianca did it or who she was.
Mm.
And somebody else as well. Trixie and Katia have their own podcast and YouTube series called...
Trixie's got a thing on... Trixie's got something on the BBC as well. It's like the guide to movies or something as well.
Really?
Yeah, it's on the page because when I catch up to RuPaul's Drag Race, it's there and I'm like, we're not here for that. I mean, to catch up on Ru. But I was a bit disappointed that they've not really got that prize. And apparently that's putting off a lot of UK drag queens from applying onto the show.
Mm.
They've already started advertising to say apply now for season two.
Yeah, it seems as though they did this first one as a kind of tester.
Yeah.
Like dip their toe in the water and they've seen that loads of people are actually watching.
Oh,
and then
halfway
through they were like, so yeah, we're going to do season
two.
Yeah,
like episode 6 or episode 5 at the beginning of the episode. They're like, so apply for season two now. The season one's not even ended yet.
Yeah. They really just cut that in. They're like, shit, people are watching.
It's kicking off. It's pumping.
It is doing really well.
It is. I'm happy for it. And what makes me laugh as well is the amount of memes I've seen online of where Americans aren't understanding English slang.
I love it.
And it is hilarious. And like, what was it? Baggy Chip said something. We're having a chippy tea.
Yeah.
And Rue was like, what's a chippy tea?
Mm.
And then Cheryl was like, oh, it's when you have fish and chips, it's chippy tea. And he's like, oh, chippy tea, okay. And I was just like... It just made me laugh. I was just like, it's obvious to us, but they don't call chips over there chips.
Or dinner tea. So.
Like, our chips are their fries and our crisps are their chips. So if you're saying we're having a chippy tea, they're thinking, why are you having just crisps for dinner?
And like a cup of tea is what they're thinking as well.
Exactly.
I think the best one was right at the very beginning, and it was Bagger that said it. She walked out and she said something about, I've got me tuppence all in a twist. And then Rue goes, sorry? Goes, oh, me fanny's got a tuppence all in a twist. He's like, you're going to need to explain these words to me. And he's like, right, a tuppence is an old form of English coin, but it's now used to refer to a woman's, you know, noo-noo. what's a new? And it was just consistent train.
Just slang after slang after slang. It's just like, until you have to get like the scientific labelling for it.
Someone just pulls out a flip chart and like a pointer. And it's like, so, step one. But it's such a great additional dynamic that we get to laugh about that they don't.
Yeah.
Because like you said, it's, I don't know where they're streaming it in the US. It's on like HBO or something over there.
Yeah, probably.
But I've seen a lot of tweets myself of people just not understanding.
Oh, I love it. I find it hilarious. Because obviously American TV shows, they're quite big over here. So we get to know what the slang and things mean.
Yeah, it rarely goes the other way.
Exactly. Whereas over there, they used to like, well, my impression from online is that they just have like Downton Abbey. It's like the main thing of what they watch from us. Because we tend to make a few bangers of TV shows. But they're not on the level of some of the American shows that we get. So obviously, only certain things break America and cross the pond to them. So if they're used to Downton Abbey and they're having to Google all these old time words, and then you've
bagger
got...
Going in there, we're having a chippy tea.
Yeah. And you've got a bagger coming out and it's just like, so we're having a chippy tea, all mid-toppence, and it's just like, what? And then they've got a whole new Googling session they're going to have to do of
can
like,
you
what
imagine
does this mean?
The page clicks on Urban Dictionary since...
Oh my god! Like, what is British slang? I love it. I think it's hilarious.
It is. It's fantastic. But I think when I was explaining the premise of the show, I realised there's so much more to it than a lot of people give it credit.
Yeah.
I think the idea that of drag queens performing and you know throwing wigs around and doing the splits and death drops, it all seems so OTT and so camp, but also somewhat pointless.
Mm-hmm.
But actually just explaining it more and saying they make their own costumes, they write their own songs, they have to be able to sing, they have to come up with jokes on the fly. There's so much more to it that people often don't give credit. And I think it's about time we go to a drag show, Gemma, because it's calling.
Listen, I tagged you that thing on Facebook. I'm down for it. The London show's coming up soon. It's the end of this month, actually. I think it's the 29th.
Ooh.
And that's a Friday as well.
I'm actually going to find a little clip. Ooh, email. Ooh.
I also wanted to say as well that Breakup Bye Bye has now featured in the top 40 hits.
I saw that by the Frock Destroyers.
Yeah.
Do you know what the Frock Destroyers is in reference to?
No, I
went and Googled this. It is... It's filth.
It's absolute filth.
Geek dirty. I did not know. They kept laughing. They were like, oh, Frock Destroyers, that's a brilliant pun. That's so funny.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell is this in reference to? I figured it must have been like, refreshing. I figured it must have been a reference to, you know, like the Sex Pistols or some sort of band that I didn't know. And they just swapped two of the words. I won't go into detail because it is disgusting. I will leave that for you listeners if you want to go off and find out what it is. But in short, two adult film stars posted a video, I think, to Twitter a few years ago, about 2 years ago.
You should see Tara's face right now, guys. She's so uncomfortable.
I'm trying to go around it so hard. It's so difficult to say what it is without saying what it is. Well, the frock part, you can replace what that word is by itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically two adult film stars filming themselves, talking about how good they are and what they would do given the chance to engage with their male fan base. Right?
Okay.
Is that a bird? Is it a bird? Is it
There's a bird in here. Oh, it's just flown in. Okay, well, I'll give that a Google later because I'm intrigued to know the specifics.
Incognito on your web browser.
Oh, I won't even do that. I live on edge. Let the FBI know my internet history.
Open up.
No one's in. Okay.
I forgot what I was even saying. Right, I actually want to play a clip of the UK's version of Snatch Game.
Mm-hmm.
But... I'm thinking now, I've got a cable in my bag that I can plug my phone in and actually play it properly.
No, I was going to say, are you going to add it in post?
Okay, yeah, I'll add it in post. I brought an extra cable.
I feel
cable.
Like it would sound better if you did that anyway.
Yeah, because I can just wire it straight in. We'll add it in post, so boop. Future Tara, this is where you're going to put it in.
Okay, first question, and it's for Lorraine. The Spice Girls have offered Michelle Visage a spot on their tour. But here's the catch. Michelle has to change her name to Blank Spice. Let's move on down to the 45th president of the United States of America, Donald Trump.
I rode Pussy Spice.
Pussy Spice.
And let me tell you why.
Okay.
Let me tell you why. Yeah. I've grabbed Michelle's pussy several times. Several times, and pussy's great. The only thing that was wrong with it, it smelled a bit like Mexican food. So I had to build a wall right around it. And let me tell you something else. It was a big wall. Huge.
Thank you, 45. Stacey, this one's for you. Meghan Markle is shaking up the royal protocol once again. The new menu at Kensington Palace serves all tea, no blank.
Shade.
Yes, good answer.
Great answer.
Let's see if 45 has some shade. Donald J. Trump.
Well, I just thought I'd ignore the game and just try and cover my own back.
Oh, okay.
So, all tea, no collusion.
No collusion.
Especially with Russia and definitely not with China. No collusion with Russia or China.
Okay. Let's move on now to Mary Barry.
Okay, so I was actually going to play a clip of the Vivian as Trump, because I think that is genuinely one of the best.
Oh my God, yes.
One of the best Snatch Game impersonations that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
In 12, if you include this one, 12 series of the show.
Well, Michelle Visage said that she thought it was the best ever.
Yeah, and genuinely, I've never seen someone do the voice.
Yeah, the accuracy it was on point. It was ridiculous.
It was. And it makes my huge Trump impression.
Absolutely huge. Gonna build that wall. It's huge.
It's like in China.
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 In China.
This is sounding so weird because we haven't actually got the clip. I'm just going to put it in afterwards.
We're
just
sat here referencing it. Yeah, but that's all about post, baby. It's all about post.
Workarounds.
That's when you fix us up, because if they actually played the whole of this podcast, which is going to be like 2 hours of us just chatting.
We might have to do a 2-hour special. Make up for the episode I missed.
I mean, I'm fine with that. I can chat for days.
I can do it in two parts.
We've already extended our studio time. Exactly. So
we're locked in.
You want to do a segue? You want to derail this train?
Ooh! Drink!
Oh, dear.
I've only got a coffee.
Yeah, because Tara's lame and sick.
I'm ill, if you can't tell already from the disgusting nasally sound of my voice.
I'm going to do that every time I've had a drink, so you know that I've had a drink. So,
Gemma, we spoke of our predictions for the winner of Drag Race. Mm-hmm. However, there was recently a big fight, wasn't there? Yes. And if you're not sure what we're talking about, fucking go back right now, open up Spotify, open up Apple Podcasts, go and listen to episode 2 right now. But you're not going to do that, so I don't care. If you've listened, you'll know that we're talking about the KSI versus Logan boxing match, which took place in shiny LA.
Mm-hmm.
Just
in the Staples Center.
2 days ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, Saturday.
On Saturday. So my prediction for the fight, I didn't say in episode 2, it was on reflection. My prediction was that Logan would win.
Yeah, to be fair, as much as I wanted KSI to win, with the way Logan was, Logan put a lot more footage out of his fighting, of his training, whereas KSI was kind of keeping things a bit more under wrap because he wanted to kind of have that edge of Logan not knowing what his fighting style was looking like, what he's, you know, how prepared he's looking. He kept a lot of things under wrap. So with Logan obviously putting a lot more videos out there, Logan got cut. Have you seen Logan's body?
Yeah, that was also why. And I can't remember who his trainer was, but it's...
Shannon Briggs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Let's go, champ. How can you forget the champ, champ?
I don't know why I was thinking of somebody else. I think I was getting a mix. No, I was thinking of KSI's.
Yeah, but
KSI got... Yeah, he got one of, the UK's most notorious boxers, right? Didn't he?
No, he got one of the Mayweathers.
Mate, I know nothing about boxing.
So,
welcome to another episode Floyd of me Mayweather. Trying to talk about stuff. I know who Floyd is, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's his dad or something. He's one of the Mayweathers, and he's like, he's
a big name.
Yeah, he's one of the and he was in America because they trained in America before they went to LA. I think they was where was they? Oh, I can't remember. I think they was in Vegas for a bit as well. So yeah, he was training with, I think, one of the Mayweathers, with Vidal Riley and all them as well. But yeah, so everyone saw a lot of Logan. So I think a lot of confidence was put into Logan because we've seen it.
That's definitely why I felt that way, yeah.
Yeah, so whereas KSI, he was training really hard, and obviously he wasn't as cut as Logan, blah, blah, blah.
He's but smaller as well.
Yeah, he's smaller in height. His reach is a bit shorter. You know, like his fighting style in the previous match, like he had a lot more time to prepare than Logan did in the first fight. So it was kind of expected that KSI maybe might not be as good in this fight because he had like a year to prepare for the first one and he wasn't that great. And then the second one, it was kind of, and he went on tour as well. He did a tour, like he did, I think it was a couple months in the summer. So obviously he can't train as hard then because he's on stage, and you know what it's like when you're rock and roll, when you're drinking and you're doing the drugs. So he probably wasn't.
We know what that's about right now.
So he probably wasn't doing as much training as he should have been. So a lot of people, because of that, had more confidence in Logan.
Yeah, Logan seemed to have really buckled down.
Yeah, and like Logan was saying in the pre-fight talks and stuff, that I've had over a year to prepare now. Before you gave me how many months, but I've had over a year. I know how to box now. I know how to fight. I've learned the art of boxing, basically. So, yeah, it even gave me confidence in thinking that Logan was going to win, to be fair.
And he just, like you said, he just looked... He looked... the transformation physically between his previous fight and this one was huge. Yeah. And I didn't really see much... I didn't really see anything much of the previous fight, but from the little I did see, it seemed as though he'd really, really... knuckled down and focused on
exactly, and that's
on it this time.
It even made me think that I feel like Logan. I wanted, as much as I wanted JJ to win, I felt like it was more swayed towards Logan because public perception was Logan's more prepared, Logan's bigger, you know, Logan's cut. Like KSI did the whole it's bulking season. And he was just eating whatever the fuck he wanted.
Yeah.
So, a lot of people were just swayed towards Logan.
Yeah.
And the poor memes. Like, have you seen KSI's Reddit videos?
No.
You should watch them because they ripped the piss out of him for bulking season. The memes are golden.
I love a golden meme.
Yeah.
It's my favourite variety of meme, actually.
Honestly, the memes, like, as much as people think KSI is a bit of an idiot or is a bit egotistical, whatever, Reddit humbles him a bit sometimes because the memes that Reddit has on him, he even has to stop and give them credit. It's like, you know, that was actually really
good. That's when you know, yeah.
Oh my God. So, yeah, so everyone obviously thought it was going to be Logan. And I was pleasantly surprised that it was KSI that won. Yeah. But then there's a lot of talk about technicalities, though, because there was... both of them had knockdowns for each other. Logan claims when he hit the mat, it was a slip. But there was one for KSI where Logan hit KSI won on his knees, and then Logan apparently did an illegal uppercut. So you're not, from my understanding, you're not allowed to hit someone while they're on the floor.
Yeah.
So KSI's on his knees on the floor, and then Logan's kind of got him in a headlock and uppercut him again, and that meant Logan was deducted points because of that.
And it was a really close
the scores were super close. 2 points.
Yeah.
Was what KSI won by. They said it was so close to being a draw. If it wasn't for that illegal uppercut and it being a judge's decision, it would have been a draw again. So the first fight, everyone thought, oh God, they want to make more money. That's why it's a draw, da da da. Could be the fact that maybe it was actually just genuinely a draw because of how close the judges judged this fight.
Right.
If Logan hadn't done that illegal uppercut, it would have genuinely been a draw.
And they were already signed into a 2-fight deal. From the first time around. So to say like, oh, they just did it, you know, to drum up attention so that they would get a second one. The second one was already in the pipeline.
Yeah.
If anything, both of them would want to win 2 out of 2 or at least one of the two. Neither of them would want a draw.
Well, exactly. Because then it could be this big redemption story of like, say if KSI won the first one.
And then Logan won the second.
Be like, well, you didn't give me enough time to prepare. So we're going to have a rematch. I'm going to be ready. and all of this, and then had the fight, and then it would have been obviously better than the first one because they both had more time to train.
Mm.
So irregardless, you still could have had someone win in the first one, and it wouldn't really matter because there was going to be a second one. The exactly. second one would be like the ultimate win. But they drew in the first one, and I think they genuinely did draw.
Yeah.
And then in the second one, with how close the scoring was again, because none of them obviously won by knockout, it was through scores from the judges.
Mm-hmm.
It was genuinely nearly a draw again. If Logan hadn't done that punch and had the points deducted, it would have been a draw again. So what I like the most, though, as well, is that after the fight, they hugged each other, and they was like, yeah. you know what, I have a lot of respect for you. They may not like each other. Like, Logan said that everything he said about KSI, all the shit talking and all of that, he did it for the views, to publicise the fight. He genuinely didn't mean any of it. Which, you know what? After seeing True Geordie's podcast with him, I can see that. I know there's a lot of hate for him because he's made the mistake with the Forest and all that jazz.
Yeah.
Everyone does make mistakes. And, you know, everyone's trying to be edgy and out there and do something that no one else has done. And he did make a mistake with that and he shouldn't have done it. But I understand that that's not him as a whole person. Because after like seeing videos of him in interviews with True Geordie and other people, you see that side to him that's not the performer side, that's not the shocker and wow side. And I genuinely believe that he did say all those things just for the public and just to get the hype and everyone like, oh my God, the hugest beef in internet YouTube history. And then they shook hands and hugged after and said they respect each other.
Yeah, and I've seen and heard a lot from other YouTubers, like you said, True Geordie, other podcasts, or just in that kind of circle of content creators that have interviewed and met him, worked with him, whatever.
Yeah.
And the comments have all been consistent in that Jake is an idiot. Jake's an absolute dumbass.
Oh.
But Logan, you wouldn't know that they were necessarily brothers because their mannerisms, their behavior and their attitude is so different.
Yeah.
And that Logan is insanely genuine as a person when you meet him.
Mm.
He, the guy Stuart, who was on the podcast I listened to talking about KSI, said that every time he walks into a room with Logan, he gets up, he gives him like a handshake, gives him a hug, says, hey, how's it going, blah, blah, blah. Jake just ignores him and is very rude and very egotistical.
Yeah.
And even though Logan's not as big a name necessarily on YouTube, but given the boxing, I think he's definitely up there.
Oh yeah, 100%.
On par with Jake these days, but he's a lot more friendly and a lot more genuine and has time for people.
Yeah.
So, and I believe, also seeing how much work he put into training, I believe, like you said, that those comments were really just for building the hype and that he's not really like that because he does seem like an actually fairly decent person who made an unfortunate slip up that was... Well, slip up is
slip up's wording it very nicely.
Yeah, fucking sledge down Mount Everest with that kind of fall, but yeah, he does seem like an actual decent person.
Yeah, this is when I come back to my comment about he wanted to do things to be edgy, and because you know, like a lot of YouTubers that go, oh, I'm going to a haunted forest. They've read on Wikipedia that like 100 years ago, some 9-year-old girl died in the forest, so that makes it a haunted forest. So obviously it's for views and things to put that kind of stuff in the title. So he's thinking, oh, we're in Japan. Let's go to the most famous forest there is where it's, you know, spooky, people commit suicide there and what so on. So obviously he's gone there to be edgy and be like, because not many people want to go into a forest like that, to be fair, when there's literally a guarantee that you will most likely see someone who's committed suicide in that forest because it's so popular to do that there.
Mm-hmm.
And then finding the body... I mean, I think documenting that he found it is one thing, but showing footage of it physically is something else. That's where he went wrong, I reckon, with that, to be fair.
I think that's obviously the main issue with it. And I think the problem was the almost childish like premonition leading up to it of like, ooh, let's go and see what we find.
Yeah.
When you know that's what you're going to find. But, you know... We covered this, the morbid.
Yeah,
the morbid
exactly.
Stuff. We'll keep it like this time.
Exactly.
Hello, everyone. Me again. I'm editing this podcast back and realised that Gem and I spoke so much in this session that we've actually managed to squeeze not one, but two episodes. So as I said earlier,
I'm going to make this one a two-part, the first guest and the first two-part episode. So we're going to call it a day here. The train is going to terminate right now, and you'll have to wait until next week to hear part two. And boy, is it a doozy. So stay tuned, and you can hear that next time. But thank you all, as usual, for listening. You'll hear me and Gemma next week. Thank you. Bye-bye.